Two, do you know how many guys have come up to me tonight and begged me to tell them you were just my sister so they could ask you out?
I shake my head. No way.
Yes way, my beautiful Kate.
He makes me feel beautiful, but I don't say it. Instead, I teasingly say, so it's my beauty you want.
Pot and kettle and all that. You called me a mega model.
He winks at me. Did not? I playfully slap at his arm. Superstar, doctor extraordinaire, the man who could have anyone he wants.
And he wants only one woman, the one before me. So why don't you let me take you home so I can get even luckier?
He kisses me again before we leave the party, and when we get back to his place, he makes good on his promise. Days later, when I arrive at my parents' house in Charleston for the holidays, I sit in the kitchen with my mother. You can't stay more than a couple of days. Mom pouts. I promised Jenna I would help her get her place ready for the party. It's just easier if I stay with her. I don't want to feel like a kid sleeping at my parents' house. They will want to know my every move, especially with my younger sister and brother at home. I plan to spend every night with Andy when he arrives, which is why I'm staying with Jenna and not them because they would never allow it. You're coming Christmas morning to open presents. I sigh. Mom, I'm not five. I know, but you'll always be my baby. She kisses the top of my head, and I feel bad. I'll be by Christmas Day at some point. I take in a deep breath and just say the words I've been thinking about all day. And I'll be bringing Drew with me. I don't bother calling him Andy because that's not how they know him, and they will think I'm talking about someone else. Shannon breezes into the kitchen. So what's this about Drew coming? My sister is apparently still boy crazy. I don't remember being that bright-eyed every time a hot guy's name was mentioned in a conversation. She was like this a few years ago, and nothing's changed. Mom says nothing while she continues to cut out Christmas shapes in the cookie dough when she pauses. I decide to clarify my words. Drew and I are back together. Mom doesn't acknowledge my words, only continues what she was doing, being uncharacteristically quiet. Shannon, on the other hand, goes for sarcasm. Of course you are. I bet he's giving it to you real good. Shannon Forbes, Mom warns. Stop being sassy. Go upstairs and clean your room. She heads out, and my brother walks in.
What's going on?
He asks when he spots the fury on Mom's face.
Kate is shacking up with her boyfriend and doesn't want to tell Mom.
Eric shakes his head and does an about face as I yell, I am not shacking up with Drew. Shannon waves a dismissive hand, and I'm left alone with Mom, who's stewing on Shannon's words or mine. I'm not sure. It could be both. After agonizing moments, she finally says, Are you sure that's a good idea, that you and Drew get back together? I've expected a reaction, just not that one. Why? Caitlin, you and I both know how hard everything was on you. Are you sure you can handle this? Hard on me? I'm the one that ran. Do you not like him or something? She'd never indicated she had a problem with him. I don't understand why she's on my side and not his. It's not that. He's a fine young man. I'm just worried about you. Don't be. I haven't been this happy since... I wave a hand in the air. Since then. I don't tell her that I had the very fear she's mentioned. I don't want her to worry because Andy is great, and he's mine. Somehow it will all work out. Dad walks in and glances at us.
What's with the long faces?
I dive in headfirst and blurt, I'm seeing Drew again. Dad's reaction is far different from Mom's. He walks over and places a comforting hand on mine.
I'm glad. Now I understand that smile when you walked in the door. Not that I'm complaining. Any man that can make my baby happy is good enough for me.
Thanks, Dad. Mom doesn't say any more over the next few days. Shannon does her best to annoy me, and Eric and I play video games as he tells me about making the basketball team. Dad and I get a tree the next day, and as a family, we spend the time decorating it. It feels good to be home, and I haven't felt that way in a while. When I arrive at Jenna's the next night, Ben is there.
Katie Bear?
Ben says, wrapping me in a hug. I don't correct him, because Ben and I became best friends during all of the bad days that summer. Ben, I feel like it's been forever since we've talked.
It has, and I hear you have news for me.
Damn, Jenna. But I'm surprised she hadn't spilled the beans so far. Drew, I clear my throat because I'm more afraid of his reaction over my parents. Drew and I are back together. He nods, not at all surprised.
Figures. I guess I'm the last to know.
He gives me a look, but it isn't condemning. I'm sorry. I didn't want anyone to know until we figured it out. I wasn't sure if it would work. Plus, I wasn't ready for the backlash.
Backlash?
I don't want anyone mad because we're together.
Why would anyone be mad?
I stop and close my mouth for a second. Isn't it obvious? I walked away. I amend that.
No, I ran. You were there. I wasn't even sure he'd forgive me. What would he have to forgive? You did what you thought was best at that time. No one blames you, Kate. Least of all me.
I hug him and barely stop myself from crying. I wasn't sure how you and everyone would feel. He pats my back while I continue to hold him tight. He's like my big brother as much as he's Jenna's.
I'm happy for you, Kate. I'm happy for both of you. You deserve it.
As much as I'm grateful he's fine with it, I worry about him too. What about you? He pulls back and I can see the sadness in his eyes. He shrugs and tries to give me a playful smile when he speaks, but I know he feels some truth of his words.
I'm all alone here in Charleston now.
I shake my head, feeling like a mama bear that needs to protect her cub. That's not true. You've got Jenna, and you can always come up for a visit. We would love to have you. He nods. By the way, I heard you're bringing someone to the party. He shrugs.
She's a warm body.
Warm body. That's not a very good description, I say with half-hearted humor.
What do you want to know? She's pretty and intelligent. Well, she is both of those things, but I'm not expecting any more than that. We all aren't lucky to have what you two have, Kate. I'm not expecting a fairy tale ending.
I narrow my eyes at him. With an attitude like that, you won't get one either. She could be your happily ever after if you give her a chance. I see the humor leave him, and he's got his dead serious face on.
She can warm my bed, but nothing will thaw this cold heart.
He points to his chest, and I place my hand there. Don't bullshit me, Ben Rhodes. I know you now. You aren't the cold-hearted bastard I used to think you were. Which is probably the reason my crush on him died shortly after it began, back when I was a preteen. He had a reputation of breaking hearts, and bad boys were never my thing. I feel your beaten heart, and you deserve to be happy.
I am happy. I'm happy for you and Drew.
He steps away like he's in a hurry.
Anyway, I've got to get going. I have to help my parents move furniture or something.
He grabs his coat.
It was really good seeing you, Kate.
Then he's gone. I stand there, worried about him. He hasn't been himself, or so Jenna's told me. When she comes downstairs with her purse, she says, "Where's Benny?" I'm still trying to think how I can help him as I mutter, "He left. Something about helping your parents." She snickers. "I'm glad you're here. I have an excuse not to go over there. Mom's in her redecorating mode. And ever since Dad put the brakes on her shopping, she rearranges furniture every month instead." She rolls her eyes. "Let's go find a dress. I need something that will make Brandon jealous." 2 nights later, I watch as Andy and Ben talk in one corner. Jenna and some cute guy chat in another. My parents and Jenna's are sitting on the couch, and other various people are having great animated conversations. For a Christmas Eve, I pronounce all is fine in the world. So far, everyone has taken the news well that I'm with Drew again. When the front door buzzes, I watch as Ben opens the door. When the McKnights, my in-laws, walk in, Andy is immediately by my side. My heart races when their eyes lock on me. I know the conversation to come will be the hardest of any I've had so far. Chapter 29, Past. And? Tell me about your scans, Drew. His expression, the downbeat look on his face, pretty much says it all. But he has to speak, and I know he needs to get it off his chest, even though he doesn't want to tell me. He shakes his head.
It's come back. I lit up the pictures like a fucking Christmas tree. It's everywhere. I'm stopping all treatment.
He holds up his hand to prevent me from talking.
I've been in every one of their conferences, Kate. I know the outcome data on all the protocols, and I've failed everything. I want to live what little there is left of my life, feeling better than I do right now. I don't have much time, but what I do have, I want those days to be enjoyable. I know this should probably be partly your decision, too, but I'm making it on my own. I have some things I need to take care of, business and personal things, and I wouldn't be able to do a damn thing if I feel like shit all the time. I hope you can understand my point here. I'm sorry I've put you through all this shit.
He offers up a sad smile, and I throw myself at him. I don't know how I'll live without him. One thing I do know, this world will be shit without Drew McKnight. Me? You're worried about me? I want you to at least consider trying, Drew.
It's no use, Kate. If I thought there was the slightest of chances, I would give it a go. But there isn't. Try to understand.
The words I want to say, I can't, because I want to scream and yell. I want to shake him and tell him, no, don't give up.
Kate?
My head jerks up. What?
Look at me. I mean, really look at me. And take your blinders off.
He holds his arms out.
This is cancer, killing me. It's what it does. It's called advanced disease progression. I'm at the point of palliative care.
I don't know what that means.
It means Rosenberg will make me comfortable with whatever he has to use. Pain meds, maybe some low doses of chemo.
But you said you were done trying chemo.
For a cure. This would be for pain management. That's what palliative care is. I'll be comfortable, I promise.
The ironic thing is his voice has a soothing quality to it. Drew, are you good with this? He lets out a short laugh.
I don't really have a choice, do I?
No, he doesn't. It's not like he ordered this off the menu. Jesus, I don't know what to say.
All I want you to say is that you accept my decision and pray for a miracle.
I look at him and say, it's not like I have a choice, do I? He gives me a sheepish look and shakes his head.
No, I'm sorry.
I blow out a shaky breath. The time has come for me to face facts here. It's not like I haven't had these thoughts before, but when you're presented with them like this, it's like having ice water thrown in your face. I don't know where the calm comes from, but I'm numb as I ask. Do your parents know?
Not yet. Will you go with me when I tell them?
You know I will. I lay my head on his chest. What about Ben?
I hope you don't mind, but he's on his way over.
No, I don't mind. The truth is, I'm kind of glad he's coming. Ben never knocks, but for some reason he does tonight. When I open the door, I can see the fear in his gray eyes. His dark brown hair is disheveled, and I know why. He keeps running his hands through it, as he's doing now. Then he jerks me into his arms, and we stand there, two dazed souls trying to comfort each other. We hear Drew's voice calling from the other room.
Stop sniveling out there and get in here, you two. Leave it to him to say something like that.
Ben says against my shoulder. Then he sniffs, wipes his eyes, and gives me a weak smile. Holding out his hand, he asks,
ready?
We walk in together, and Ben asks,
since when have I ever sniveled? Since you decided to take me on as your best friend and carry this cancer thing around with you.
Then Drew blurts out,
I'm not gonna make it, dude. This is my last hurrah. I figured that's what you were gonna say. You wouldn't have called my ass over here for anything else. Good news usually gets delivered with a phone call. Damn, the dude grew some neurons and they actually started firing.
Drew grins. Or tries to, anyway. Ben shakes his head.
Every now and then my common sense flares its head.
Drew looks at me and says,
Kate, can you give us a minute?
It gives me the break I need, so I run up to our bedroom and call Jenna. I'm nearly hyperventilating by the time she answers. Hey, and I know it's not good. Ben's already hit me up with his suspicions. He's quitting everything. I tell her, and I explain. Oh, Kate. Her voice conveys her heartbreak. Then I hear her sniffing, and it starts a round of my own. What am I gonna do? I don't know, but you'll be doing it in great company. You'll have Ben, me, Letty, Ray, and your parents. Drew has quite the fan club, and that means you'll have tons of support. As great as that sounds, it won't replace my husband. And I turn into a sobbing mess. Jesus, if I can't even think about it, how the fuck will I function through it? Jenna reads my mind because she says between tears, 1 hour at a time, or maybe even 1 minute at a time, and sometimes 1 breath at a time. I'd better get back down there, and I've got to pull myself together first. Kate, it's okay if he sees you cry. Yeah, but I don't want the rest of our days to be filled with nothing but that. I want his last days to be good, you know? I know. I'm here if you need me. You always are. I go into the bathroom and look at the woman in the mirror. Red, puffy eyes with lips to match distort my face, and it has become my normal look lately. I splash cold water on me, hoping to rinse some of the swelling away, only I know that won't do it. What I need is a 5-pound bag of ice to do the trick. When I rejoin the guys, Ben looks as bad as I do, so I head to the liquor cabinet and pour him a tumbler full of Jameson. His hand shakes as he grabs it from me. Then I wedge myself next to Drew and wrap my arm through his. Can I get you anything? I ask.
I hate to make you get back up again.
Damn it, Drew, I'd climb fucking Everest for you. I teeter on another round of tears, and he pulls me into him.
Babe, all I want is one of those IPAs I love.
I can handle that. I fly off the couch and grab one out of the refrigerator and bring it back to him. I'm back in seconds. He laughs.
Kate, it's not a race.
But it is. A race against time. The question hangs over me. How much? A year? Months? He knows, and he says,
Babe, like I told Ben, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 months, give or take.
My hand clenches Drew's thigh, and my eyes connect with Ben's. 6 months. By summer, he'll be gone. I try to calculate in my accountant's brain how many more nights I have with him. 6 times 30 equals 180. 180 days and nights with Drew. And then nothing. Ben empties his glass, jumps out of his seat, and pours himself another. I jump off the couch and run out the back door. Oddly enough, I don't cry. I stare off into the distance and think about what I'll do with myself, minus the love of my life. I hear the door open and assume it's Ben. You must be going as crazy as I am, wondering what the fuck your life will be like without the most important person in it.
Actually, I'm more worried about you than anything.
I turn to see Drew standing there. He walks up to me and wraps me in his warm embrace. I brace myself for his words.
Kate, listen to what I'm gonna say. The reason I'm doing this is because I want my last days to be good ones, you know? I'm gonna ask something really huge of you. I want you to take a leave of absence. I know you're just kicking your career off, but I want you with me every day, every hour, especially now when I feel like doing things. Because right now I feel pretty good, and now that I'll be off treatment, I'll be even better. I want to go places, do things, live. For the next 5 or 6 months, or however long I have, I want to hang out with Ben and Jenna, party, watch hockey, go to the beach, spend time with my parents and yours. If you're working, we won't be able to do half of these things. You know money isn't an issue. Can you do this for me?
Without even thinking, I say, you know I will. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. And honestly, I haven't given work a thought. I'll give Joseph a call tomorrow to see what I need to do. For the first time since Chicago, I see his blue eyes sparkle.
Thank you.
This is my Drew, thanking me for taking a leave of absence to watch him die. What the fuck do I say to that? He takes care of the awkwardness for me.
Oh, and Kate, do me a favor. We all know I'm gonna die. Let's not tiptoe around any of this. It will get really weird if you do. I'd rather lay this shit out on the table, you know? And not dance around the issue. And by the look on your face, I know I've just shocked you, but it's the truth. No running into the closet with Ben and whispering behind my back anymore, okay?
You've accepted all this, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's sort of a release. My only concern is you.
I make a huge decision here, not because I want to, but because I have to. Stop. Right here and now, I want you to stop being so concerned about me. I'll be fine with whatever happens. My choice is that you'd be here forever and ever. The powers that be choose otherwise. I'll deal with it, Drew.
You promise?
I make an X over my heart. Cross my heart and hope to die.
Never do that.
Okay, bad choice of words, but you know what I mean. Then he grabs me and kisses me in a way he hasn't in weeks.
Hey, have you all forgotten about me?
Ben asks, interrupting us.
No, I just had to kiss my wife,
Drew says. Then Ben twitches his brows and holds up a pipe.
Anyone want a smoky smoke? Hell yeah,
Drew says. Boys will be boys, even if one is dying of cancer. The visit with Drew's parents is as difficult as I'd imagined. How can you prepare yourself to tell your parents you have a terminal illness? Drew is as calm as can be, but I'm the one who has the most trouble. Letty and I cling to each other like static electricity, but they're happy to hear that Joseph agreed to my 6-month leave of absence. If it goes longer than that, I will have to give up my position. I don't give a damn. Drew comes first, as I explained to his parents. The next few months are filled with side trips to Asheville, Savannah, and Hilton Head, where Drew and I spend precious time together doing things he loves to do, like fishing, sailing, and sitting and watching the sunset. When we're at home, Ben, his parents, my parents, and Jenna are usually there, not all at one time, but it's a show of love, and I'm thankful for every one of them. 4 months have passed, and Drew is holding his own. One day, he suggests we take a vacation out to the California wine country. I'm shocked, because it's a long flight, and the time change worries me because it might fatigue him.
Kate, I'll sleep on the plane, and they do have beds in California.
I don't want you to get run down.
I won't let myself, I promise.
He seems so strong, and if this is what he wants, who am I to deny him? But I do one thing first. I call Dr. Rosenberg and have a chat with him. He laughs.
Kate, Drew is a physician and also knows his limitations. If he wants to go, then go. But nothing. You both know what the eventuality is. Let him get his wish.
You're right. If Drew wants the wine country, then he shall have it. And he gets it. We're tipsy more than we're sober, I think. One day, Drew says,
I don't think I've tried a wine I haven't liked.
We laugh and sip and eat. And one day at dinner, when the waiter asks if we'd like to see a wine list, we both shout, no. We agree we've had enough for the day. By the time we get home, Drew's energy begins to lag. He doesn't complain, but I can see it in the longer naps and the earlier bedtimes. He's using fentanyl patches for pain, and sometimes has to use the lollipops laced with it too. But one thing Drew doesn't do is complain. If he's in pain, he slinks off and uses a lollipop. But I can usually tell by his eyes or the shade of his skin
which has lost its usually tawny glow and luster. His hair is growing in, but the chemo he takes for pain keeps it at that downy stage, like a newborn's, and I love to rub my hand across it. It's one thing that Drew loves, too, and in fact, he asks me to do it a lot. He says it's soothing. He's down to nothing as far as weight, and he was right about the sweats. It's what he lives in these days. He mentions it again today.
Any chance you can buy me more of these? I hate to wear the same things over and over.
Oh, sure. They're so soft, I'm sure they're comfy.
Yeah, and I don't have to worry about them falling off this bag of bones. I'm down to nothing, Kate. There's no use in denying it.
He's right. I can't. He's nothing but a shadow of what he was 6 or 7 months ago. I have his clothes pushed to the back of the closet so he isn't confronted by them constantly. But I sneak back and look at them. It's sad when I see how robust and strapping he used to be compared to what he is now. I won't, but I'm also not going to tell you anything negative either, Drew. I'll get you whatever you want. You know that.
Thank you.
Later that week, he sits in his favorite chair, a large recliner, so I hop in with him and snuggle next to him. How's my guy today? Feel like doing anything? A movie?
Nah, I'm good right here.
Hungry?
Not really. Just want to chill.
You got it. Minutes later, he's sleeping. It's what he does mostly these days. I slip out of the chair and call Ben. I usually give him an update every couple of hours, and then it turns into a tear fest for the two of us. And poor Ben, he has to work with a career to maintain throughout all of this. I'm not sure how he's keeping this shit from falling out of the briefcase, trying to sell stocks and investments while his best friend is dying. I'm so thankful I'm not working. You stopping by after work?
Kate, what the fuck do you think? I should just move in with you.
Hey, there's plenty of room here.
Yeah, I know, but I have a place of my own.
Rent it out.
Yeah, but what about after?
He trails off, and we both fall silent. It's a powerful moment.
I didn't mean...
He starts. I blurt out. You could stay with me for a while. I may need you.
You won't.
I won't what?
Want to stay there.
Oh, shit. I never thought about it, but he's right. There's nothing that could make me stay here. This is... was our place. This was supposed to be where we had kids. I guess not. Need a roommate? It's another awkward moment. Then Ben fixes things.
I'll see you shortly. Need me to bring dinner?
Sure. Can you pick up Chinese? His favorite egg rolls and wonton soup?
Bet. What about you?
I'll eat what he doesn't. His appetite has gone to nothing these days. Ben says he'll see me in about an hour. Drew eats half an egg roll and half a cup of soup, and I don't eat much more. Ben tries to cheer up the house, but Drew falls asleep on us, and it's the two of us staring at each other wet-eyed. The TV provides white noise as Ben and I stare ahead. What do you think life will be like without him? I ask.
Empty.
Kind of like right now?
Yeah.
He always tells me he loves all the pieces of me with all the pieces of him. Why did all the pieces of him have to get sick? Why couldn't one piece of him get sick, a piece that he didn't need? Ben scrubs his face.
I don't know, Kate. I wish I had an answer for you. But just for the record, I love all the pieces of him with all the pieces of me, too.
It's only a short 15 days later when Drew wakes me up in the middle of the night. That's not quite accurate, because I'm not really sure when the last time I truly fell asleep, and I'm talking deep sleep, was. I hover in that place somewhere between sleep and awake. Things have declined rapidly in the last couple of days. My head spins when I think about it. His voice rasps as he calls my name.
Kate?
I'm out of the bed, saying, what is it?
I think it's time. I want to go to the hospital.
The words I've dreaded for weeks punch me in the gut, deflating me.
but I refuse to let him see it. Yeah, okay. Let me get dressed.
Kate, I think you need to call 911. I'm pretty sure I can't get up to walk.
Yesterday was rough. He had a tough time standing at all. He inhales, and it's then I hear the faint rattle that lies deep in his chest. Oh, God, how will I ever get through this? As is Drew's usual way, he talks me through it all, telling me everything will be fine. This, my Drew, comforting me on his deathbed. The EMTs arrive and load him into the vehicle, and I follow behind in my car. I call his parents, Ben, my parents, and Jenna on the way. When we arrive at the hospital, I'm at his side, holding his hand and biting my knuckle as they wheel him in. Even though this journey has been long and filled with ups and downs, and I've had time to prepare for this day, I'm not ready at all. Letting go of this man will be next to impossible. I watched that movie where the mountain climber became trapped under a boulder and was forced to amputate his own arm. That's how I feel right now. Losing Drew will be like cutting out my heart. I know it's cliche, but it's true. Part of me will die with him. There's no other way around it. Ben and Jenna arrive, and we all hug and cry in the hall, and then I'll go in and hug Drew. Ben practically crawls in his bed. When his parents get here, we step out to give them time alone with their only son. When I think of what they must be going through, my dying heart hurts even worse. And Drew, knowing the man he is, must be trying to be brave for them. But at this point, in these final moments, there is no more he can do or say to boost their spirits. I still have a hard time wrapping my brain around how all this could happen. No doubt they do too. My parents and siblings make an appearance, but my mom is worse off than me. I think she hates to see her daughter suffer. I don't want Shannon and Eric to remember Drew like this, so I send them home after a brief visit. The day inches by. Ray and Letty take a break by going down to get some food. My parents leave, and so does Jenna, promising to return that evening. Ben takes a bathroom break and says he's going to grab some coffee. I ask him to bring me back a cup.
You need to eat, Kate.
Not hungry, Ben. He holds his hands up in the air, backing off. He knows not to push the food issue. We have this unspoken rule between us about these kinds of things.
I'll be back in 15 or 20.
No hurry. It's just the two of us now. I watch Drew as his chest moves up and down. His eyes flutter open, and he motions me to his bedside. Then he starts talking, and his voice is surprisingly strong. But the things he says plow into me like a fucking tank, and I want to curl into him and die right with him. He tells me how he knew from the first moment he set eyes on me I was his, and then he's sorry it turned out this way. Gah, like this is all his fault. Then he tells me to go home. I nod and suck back my tears. Okay, I'm going to go home and shower because I'm kind of rank. I love you too, Drew. More than I can say.
Kate, stop. That's not what I meant. I want you to promise me something, okay? Swear to me right now.
His voice is firm, much stronger than it has been in days. Okay, what is it?
I want you to leave this room now and go home. But I don't want you to come back after you shower. I want you to say your goodbyes to me right here, right now.
What? What are you saying? My heart stutters in my throat.
I'm saying what you think I'm saying. I love you so much more than having you sit here by my side for the next few days. I don't want that. You swore to me, Kate.
Drew, I can't. Tears stream unchecked down my cheeks because I can't let myself think of the inevitable. Drew is my life, my heart, my everything.
Yes, you can. Now go. Turn around, walk through that door, and don't ever look back. All my stuff is boxed exactly like I asked you to, and you know what to do with it, My parents and yours will be here, along with Ben. But you don't need to be here. I don't want you to be here. I want you to remember me as I was, when I was healthy, during our best times. Now look at that door and take your first steps into your new life, Kate. And promise me you'll live. Just live, Kate. Do it for me.
You can't mean this. Drew, I'm not walking away.
And instead of walking, I make a move to crawl in his bed.
Don't, Kate. You're making this harder for me. Have you ever heard of stories where people can't let go? That's what you're doing to me.
My hand flies over my mouth to cover the sob.
Please, for me. If there's one thing left you can do for me, do this last thing.
I back away from his bed, looking at his murky eyes, no longer the crystal blue of his healthy days gone by. And I turn and run blindly from the room. I don't know where I'm going. I just have to leave his room for a moment to think, to figure out if I can do what he's asked. My eyes are so misted with tears, I'm blind. And as I turn the corner, I crash head-on into someone. Arms reach out to steady me and prevent me from slamming on my ass as my own arms windmill. I'm sure whoever I just careened into must think they've been attacked by a banshee, because I'm wailing and look a mess, not to mention I smell like a skunk.
Hey, are you okay?
Hell no.
I shake my head. My words come out choked through another sob.
No, I'm not okay,
I manage to say. Irrationality burns my gut. Isn't it obvious?
Do I look like I'm okay?
I rub my eyes so I can get the buckets of water out to see.
Here, come with me.
I don't have a choice. Whoever this person is takes my arm and walks me somewhere. He opens a door and says,
sit.
A handful of tissues magically appear in my hand. I blow my snot-filled nose and wipe my eyes again, but still I cry. I feel guilty at my earlier irritation. Someone is trying to be nice and I'm being a bitch.
I'm sorry. My husband is... he's dying and...
I sniff loudly.
He just told me he wants me to leave.
Your husband?
I finally look at my savior. His lab coat screams physician. My eyes are cloudy with tears, so I can't really make out if he's young, old, short, or tall. I can't seem to stop my heart from tearing into shreds.
Yeah, you may know him. Drew McKnight. He's a fellow here.
I blow my nose into a clean tissue and add it to the wadded ball of used ones.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of know him, but never got the chance to work with him. I've heard great things about him, and I'm terribly sorry.
He introduces himself, but I don't catch his name. My brain is too much of a mess to take notice.
I'm also an oncology fellow. I'm a year ahead of your Drew.
Look, sorry I dumped on you.
Don't be. Can I offer you some advice? The last days, he won't know. He knows it, too. He's trying to protect you. As hard as it is, that's all he's doing. Be with him if you want.
A giant breath gushes out of me.
Thank you. I need to go.
Mrs. McKnight?
Kate,
I say, dabbing at my eyes.
What?
My name is Kate.
Oh, Kate, then. I'm on call and here tonight. If you need anything, tell the nurses to page Dr. Mercer. I'll be here to help if you or Drew need me.
I take his hand. It's comforting.
Thank you.
Swiping the tears off my face, I head back to Drew's room. Ben is here, and I motion him into the hall. When I tell him what Drew said, he looks embarrassed.
You knew, didn't you?
Yes, but he swore me not to tell you. I'm sorry, Kate.
Well, I just can't do that. I can't leave and never say goodbye.
I told him that, and I told him it wasn't fair of him to ask that of you. But you know Drew. He's always thinking of everyone else.
I'm going home to shower, and then I'm coming back with my stuff to stay for however long. I ran into one of the oncologists who's on call. He told me to stay.
I start to cry again. In a weepy voice, I say,
He said Drew wouldn't know if I'm here anyway.
Ben's arms grab me, and we both tremble as we cry. Then he asks,
Are you okay to drive?
Yeah, I'll be fine. Nothing but a few more tears.
Text me as soon as you get home.
I will.
It's a quick turnaround trip for me, and I'm back at the hospital. But when I walk toward Drew's room, I wonder if I should linger in the hall. I text Ben, and he meets me right outside the room.
He knows you're coming back. I told him it wasn't fair to do that to you.
What did he say?
He told me I sucked, in Drew fashion.
That gets a smile out of us, albeit a small one. Ben and I get bed seats, and by that I mean in his bed. I lie next to him for most of the time, other than when I have to pee or get something to drink. Letty sits next to the bed in the recliner and holds his hand or touches him in some fashion. And Ray only looks on, disbelief etched on his features. I think he held out hope until the bitter end, and now that it's here, it's too much for him to face. At 10, I get up and walk down to the cafeteria and grab a muffin and a Coke. After I choke a quarter of the muffin down and sip the Coke, I'm flicking the crumbs around the table when a shadow crosses over me. I glance up and see that it's the physician that helped me earlier. I'm a bit embarrassed to admit I don't even remember his name.
How are you holding up?
How does anyone ever hold up when the love of their life is dying at the age of 29?
Probably as well as you are.
Then not too good.
It's a shit hand of cards he was dealt, Kate.
Yeah, it's not fair. And all I keep asking myself is why can't the bad people get shit like this? Drew never has a bad thing to say about anyone. He was always the good guy, you know?
It's what I've been told. Everyone says he's the golden boy. Smart as hell, and the greatest diagnostician. He was like a god around here. When he had the recurrence, everyone was just sick about it. Let me tell you, he had the best care, Kate. His case went all over the world. There wasn't a stone left unturned.
I reach out and touch his hand. Thank you for telling me this. We haven't been here long enough to meet a lot of the other fellows, so I didn't know. I appreciate that. He digs in his pocket and pulls out a card.
Listen, if you need anything, just call. I'm out of here in about an hour. But the whole department is in on this thing. You should know that. This has been really tough on Rosenberg. Everyone loves Drew.
I look at his card briefly and say, Thanks. You've been very kind. Then I gather up my crumbly muffin and Coke and head back to the room. 2 days later, my Drew, my husband, the only man I've ever loved, fades away as he takes his final breath, with me in the bed next to him, Ben holding one hand and Letty holding the other. It's very peaceful. For Drew. For me, my world shatters into tiny pieces as all the pieces of Drew leave this world. All the pieces of me remain behind, broken and alone.
Chapter 30. Past.
Drew's funeral takes place 1 week before our first anniversary. Drew, being Drew, left Ben explicit instructions on how he wanted things handled. So Ben took care of mostly everything. It was a good thing, too, because I was in a state of perpetual numbness. Ray and Letty handled the venue, choosing the same church Drew and I were married in. I'm told later that people attended from his residency, his hockey team, including Sam and Caroline, from his medical school class, and his fellowship program. I see none of them. The church is nothing but a blank slate. All I am is a huge empty space, and the place where my heart used to be is a black hole. I am hollow, vacant. The minister says some lovely things, but I don't really follow. Ben sits on one side and Letty on the other. I squeeze both of their hands just to make myself feel something, anything. The minister allows anyone to come up to the pulpit to say something about Drew if they wish. I see many people step up and speak, but I hear nothing. Not until Ben. He has to untangle his fingers from mine when he walks up to take the microphone. His hands tremble as he digs into the pocket of his suit coat and pulls out his speech. Ben's eulogy is the one I listen to, and my heart latches onto it, hanging on every syllable. He starts when they met in kindergarten and progresses throughout their lives, but his delivery is priceless. It's funny, but punctuated with moments of love. Not enough to bring everyone to sobs, only enough to get the points. It's a story about Drew learning to ice skate that brings down the house.
So he says, "Dude, I'm serious. I'm gonna learn this if it kills me." And you have to picture Drew, 6'3" in one of those leotard outfits, right? So I say to him, "You do know you'll be in recitals and stuff, right?" And he says, "Yeah, will you come watch?" And he's serious. So he goes at it like you've never seen. He comes home all bruised up and tells me about how he's learning these sow cows and axles and is all geeked out about it. I'm talking Drew McKnight, everyone. Figure skating. So he finally gets to the point where he has to perform all these jumps and things, and he begs me to come watch. I'm his best friend. What am I going to say? So I head over to the ice rink, and I see huge Drew in the midst of all these 7- and 8-year-old girls in pink tutus. It would be like seeing The Rock taking ballet. No kidding. Each time he performs, or one of the little girls does something, they all high-five or fist-bump each other. And Drew is right in the middle of them. It was freaking hilarious. But I swear to God, that night, the man comes home, puts the figure skates in the closet, trades them out for a pair of blades, and picks up hockey like he was born to play. And that was Drew McKnight.
You can hear murmurs throughout the church. And Ben's right. Drew never did anything without purpose or without a goal in mind.
And one other thing Drew did was ask me to a Purdue football game and alumni post party. So we went. My sister Jenna and her best friend and roommate Kate Forbes showed up. Drew took one look at Kate and said to me, "Dude, who's that girl with your sister?" When I told him, he said, "I'm going to marry her one day. Introduce us, now." It took a few weeks to persuade Kate to agree to a date, but damn if he didn't. And Kate, you made him the happiest guy on earth.
He gently folds his papers in half and says in a soft voice,
"You will be missed, my brother."
Ben walks down and takes his seat next to me, grabbing my hand and squeezing it. I know it could not have been easy for him to do it, but Drew would have been proud if he could have been here. Something inside my heart tells me he heard every word. If the attendees expect me to speak, they will have to be disappointed. Now my body is broken apart by silent sobs. Ben's arm wraps around me as I lean against him for support. The question that won't leave hits me again. How will I live without him? The church has kindly allowed us to greet the mourners in a large room, so we have food and drinks available. There are so many people, it's impossible for me to keep up. Half of the time, I find myself in the bathroom, splashing water on my face, trying to rinse my tears away. I never bothered with any makeup today, and that was the best call ever. I would have looked awful by now, even with the waterproof stuff. At one point, after fixing myself up, I glance over at Ben, and his hair looks like a hurricane got a hold of it. He can't keep his hands out of it. I can hear Drew's voice in my head saying, "Babe, go fix that shit up for him. He looks like hell." So that's what I do. I scoot next to him and grab his arm. "Come here a sec."
"What?"
I do my best to straighten out the wreck of Ben's wavy nest.
"That bad, huh?"
Scrunching up my face, I say, "Yeah, it sort of looked like you just woke up after a week-long bender." His arm moves up to run through his hair, and I trap it in my hand. "Stop, that's what's causing this mess." He holds out his hands.
Okay, I'll do better. I'm just...
I swipe at my face and say, "I know,
We all are.
We need a fucking drink, don't we?
And we'll have some as soon as this is over.
We move back to the crowd. When the last person has filed through, we all finally take a breather and sit. Ray and Letty look like they've aged 20 years. I feel like I have, too. Ben's hair is a wreck again, and I laugh. It's one of those inappropriate laughs that you try to hold back but just can't. Everyone looks at me with questions in their eyes. Shaking my head, I say, "It's Ben's hair. I can hear Drew saying a bunch of crap about it." Everyone laughs, and the Drew stories start. Ben invites everyone over to clean out his liquor cabinet, and we migrate to his house. Ray and Letty and my parents leave after a while, but Jenna and I stay the night. We drink ourselves silly and all crash on the floor with sleeping bags, pillows, and cushions from the couches and chairs. In the morning, I wake up and look around. Ben and Jenna are still passed out. I roll over and see all the empty liquor bottles on the coffee table. It's a surprise I'm not puking everywhere. I sit up and go to the bathroom. On the way back, I pass a shelf that's loaded with pictures of Ben and Drew. It's impossible for me not to stare at them. What a pair they are. Or were. A sudden wave of anxiety barrels into me, and I nearly drop the picture in my hand as I slide to the floor. My chest pounds with pain as I realize I can't ever go home. I can't walk through that door again, knowing Drew won't ever be there to greet me with those stunning blue eyes of his. A wave of nausea rolls over me, and I clamp my hand over my mouth. Ben is there, pulling me up.
What happened?
I can't go home. I can't ever go back there.
My entire body shakes.
It's okay, Kate. You don't have to.
No, you don't get it, Ben. I can't walk in there at all.
He grabs my hand, and we go into his kitchen where he fixes me a glass of water. After a few sips, and Ben talks me through this anxiety attack, I calm down.
Kate, this is a new road for you.
Ben, it's not about a new road. It's about Drew not ever coming home. I don't want to be in that house, period.
Okay, I get that. Come with me.
He takes my hand again, and this time we go to his office.
Have a seat,
he says, pointing to a chair.
Look, you don't have to go back there. In fact, you should sell, but I have something for you.
You do?
Yeah. You know our guy. He always planned for everything. I was to give this to you the day after the funeral. Here.
Ben hands me an envelope. I look at him, not knowing what to do. He nods.
Open it. I'm supposed to stay with you while you read it.
Okay. Is this gonna tear me up into even more pieces?
I don't know.
There go his hands through his hair again. The outside of the envelope says, "My loving Kate." I open it gingerly.
My dearest Kate, if you are reading this, then the inevitable has taken place. We've had many discussions about what would happen after my passing. But knowing you as I do, I knew I had to write this. That's also why I've given this to Ben. I hope the dude has followed my instructions. I hope you don't hate me for trying to send you away from the hospital, although I was fairly certain you would be too hard-headed to leave. You had already been through the worst of the worst, and I didn't want you to go through that too. I wanted you to carry our best memories forward, to remember me in my healthy days, when we were happy and fell in love, and loved with abandon. I never told you this, but if I'd had a crystal ball and could have seen the future, I would have run far, far away from you as fast and as hard as I could have. Not because I didn't love you. I hope you know that. My heart was as tangled up in yours as was possible. I don't think I could have loved anyone as hard as I loved you. I would have run because I never would have put you through this horrible journey. And I can only hear you ranting now. But stop. It's done. It's over. And I didn't know. So we fell in love, married, and the rest, as they say, is history. But this ending was not part of my plan, as you know. I had such great visions for us. The large house with three kids, growing old together and spoiling the hell out of our grandkids. I saw us holding hands, sitting on our rockers, watching the sunsets, sipping our wine, taking luxurious vacations, which may or may not have included sad trips to Blackhawks games, and me spoiling the hell out of you. Words will never express to you how sorry I am that I couldn't fulfill those visions. Now here comes the hard part for you, Kate. You made me a promise, and I'm going to hold your feet to the fire on this. You swore to me you would move on afterwards. You would go forward and find someone else and live your life. That's what I'm asking you to do. Oh, I know you can't do this immediately, but don't you dare sit on your ass for years and pine away. And knowing you, that's exactly what you'll do. You're such a hard ass sometimes, but I'm not going to let you get away with this. This time, you're going to hold up your end of the bargain. This is a huge world, Kate. I was not the only person in it for you. Don't tell yourself that, and don't be naive. Open yourself up and let yourself love again. The worst thing that could happen and the last thing I would want are for you to be alone and be lonely. You've been through way too much in your young life already. You promised me, and by God, you'd better not renege on this. So I'm giving you 6 months. Too short, you say? I'll say bullshit. You're going to pack up your boxes, because mine are already packed, and get the hell out of here. Sell the house. Do you hear me? Move. Get the hell out of there. Give all my clothes to charity. The few items I've tagged will go to Ben or my parents. You already have what you want. Everything else is tagged for the charity I've designated. There's enough life insurance money and money from my trust fund that you'll inherit for you to be comfortable for however long you want. You'll need to work only if that's what you want to do. Ben will help you with all of this. He's your money guy. This will give you time to figure out where you want to end up living. Go. Explore the world if you want. Seek out a new life for yourself. And find that special someone. Make sure he treats you well. And don't settle. You deserve the best of the best, Kate. Do me a favor. Always remember the better times. And know that I loved all the pieces of you with all the pieces of me. Forever and then some. Drew. P.S. Look out for Ben. And tell that dude to stop running his hands through his hair. He's gonna go bald and end up looking like me, but he won't be as sexy.
Leave it to Drew to make me laugh at the end.
Did you read this?
I ask Ben.
No, why?
I hand it to him. His eyes run with tears until he gets to the last line. Then we both laugh. Asshole. Then we cry, laugh, and hug. I look at Ben and ask,
will you help with all this? I think I'm going to take up Jenna on her offer to move in. Most of my stuff will have to go in storage once the house sells. I want to leave it furnished so it shows better.
Sure, I'll help. But why don't you make it easy on yourself and hire some moving company?
Oh, Ben, I don't want to spend the money. I haven't worked in 6 months, and I'm not sure about the finances.
Ben laughs.
Did you not read the letter?
You have no idea, do you? About what?
Your financial status. And you're a damn accountant.
Should I be insulted?
He shakes his head.
No. If it were anyone else other than Drew, I might say yeah. But not with him. Kate, let me just say you can afford it. The moving company.
And you know this how?
I'm your fucking broker. Like the letter said, I'm the money guy. Drew left you well cushioned. He's a trust fundee. I've handled his investments for years. And you're his sole beneficiary.
It was him I wanted. I never paid attention to his bank account. It was just us and battling fucking cancer.
I almost sob.
The money thing never entered the picture for me. And it's not something I want to focus on right now. Ben must notice it because he keeps pushing.
Here, hold on.
Ben pulls up a chair and we both sit at his computer. He logs into his brokerage firm and pulls up Drew's account.
This is your account.
Then he scrolls down and shows me the numbers. It's 7 hefty figures worth.
This won't include his life insurance, which will add another million.
What? I wipe my face again because I'm still crying off and on throughout this whole conversation.
You heard me. You know about Drew's mom, right? Her family?
Well, yeah.
That's where his money comes from. Your house. You know it doesn't have a mortgage on it, right?
Yeah.
So, Kate, add another 700 grand to your bottom line.
Jesus, how did I not know this?
You never talked about money with him?
Ben asks.
No, never. Looking back, that sounds really dumb of me.
No, I'm sure if the conversation ever got close to the subject, he would steer it away. And he wasn't frivolous with it either.
It's hard to take in. I knew money wasn't an issue, but I just never dug into it.
Ben, someday when our heads are screwed on straight, we need to find a way to do something with some of this money as a tribute to him.
Yeah, I think you're right. By the way, I'll be with you at the reading of his will and all.
Good.
So, a moving company then?
Letty calls the following week and says the reading of Drew's last will and testament will take place at their home. The attorney is a close family friend, so they decide to do it there. Ben picks me up at Jenna's and we go together. Afterwards, I ask Letty if she's okay with all this. After all, it's sort of her money. She sighs. Drew loved you more than his own life, Kate. Of course I'm okay with it. It was his will that you have it all. Then I tell her about my plans to move and sell.
I think you're wise. It would bring nothing but more tears and heartache for you, dear.
And God knows we've all had enough of that.
She dabs her eyes as she talks. I ask myself if it will ever get easier to talk or think about Drew.
7 months later.
The house is mostly staged. All pictures of Drew and me are packed and stored. The movers have come and all my belongings are in storage. It's finally listed, and I'm living full-time with Jenna again, just like old times. My position with Ernst & Young was given away, but I interviewed with Price Waterhouse and was given an entry-level auditing role with them. I'm starting all over again. I'd be lying if I'd say I wasn't depressed. I think about Drew every day.